Amen. Good morning. And welcome to the Wichita Church of Christ. If you're visiting with us, we'd like to extend to you a very hearty welcome. And we hope that you will come again and worship with us. The song service has been great, huh? Great communion. Great time to be together as a family. We are a family here. And before I get started here, I'm going to jump into a little bit of family business. And it probably won't be in order, but I've been charged to be like in Luke chapter 1, have to be Gabriel and deliver some news. I'm not talking about any virgins or old women, but I am talking about a baby being born. Sam and Joey Lazarus are expecting a child here, so please be praying for them. Amen. The good news. Also, I want to remind you about our Can of Hope. Our Can of Hope campaign. We are in conjunction with Hope Worldwide, collecting peanut butter, bagged and boxed cereal, and soups. My son came up to me and he said, Dad, I counted all the peanut butters we had and I counted all the soups that we have. We have 40-something soups, 40-something peanut butters, and 80-something cans of soup. He didn't count the cereals. I didn't want to. He's not in here. We have more peanut butter than that. We have 50-something. The goal is to go one for one. We're about 130 plus. We keep adding to the fellowship here, but we want to go 130-something peanut butters. And the reason why we're collecting these things is because the Kansas Food Bank had an article in the paper that said that they're running so low that they're having to turn people back. And we wanted to do something to really dive in and help out. And the other thing that I'd like for you to be praying about is I'm one of those guys that I don't like to do one-time things. You know what I'm saying? Like you did this one time, and it's like, okay, well, we did this one time. I want you to consider us doing this on a quarterly basis. You know, and so when we report this to Hope Worldwide and all of the Hope organizations around the world and to all of Wichita, we're not only making a commitment one time. We are going to make a continual commitment to serve the Kansas Food Bank. Amen? Also, I want to give you a date here for our marriage retreat and workshop. And I'll give you more details here in Congregational Midweek. Plug, Congregational Midweek this Wednesday. it'll be March 31st through April 1st. You said March 31st through April 1st, that's more than a weekend. What is going on here? We've got something special for you. We've got a couple that has been trained by John and Karen Louie, and I Choose Us. That's a marriage program, one of the top programs in the country, in the nation, and they've also been trained in good enough parenting. They've been trained in a whole bunch of areas, and what they're doing right now, Guy and Loretta Burnt, he was the evangelist in the Orlando church, and they moved to India and all these different places, and they got trained. They got trained, and they came back with a vision to travel around to churches and to kind of be a traveling elder couple and be able to provide some really in-depth training as far as marriage is concerned, parenting, and leaving something that we can grasp hold of and flourish. And so that's really cool. Those guys are looking for a place to be half of the year for 6 months. And don't you know that I put in our bid? We're up against some power, so we're praying to be giant killers. We're going against LA. We're not going against them, but there's some things out there, some needs out there. But they're going to be here, and they're going to be here for a week. And so we'll also have the place where you can go and spend the night and all these different things. But then we'll have some in-depth study, some in-depth workshop type of stuff where we'll be able to interact and not just hear a message and go, oh, that was a great message, and leave. So we'll get a chance to interact four-hour blocks. So we'll have 2 4-hour blocks. And they teach with video and all these different things. So this is also a great evangelistic opportunity for your neighbors, your coworkers, and such as far as their marriage is concerned. Amen? Okay, so that's March 31st through Sunday, April 1st. A couple other things I want to get out here. Stay with me, amen? Stay with me. I'm praying as we speak that you'll stay with me. Amen? I just wanted you to know, I wanted to lift these guys up in Jesus. A couple of weeks ago, we had our New Year's kickoff, and we had a meal. And I don't know if you had a chance to get a piece of that meal there. Oh, man, those chicken tacos. Oh, my goodness. Okay, that was done by the Spanish speaking ministry. And so we want to give it up for those guys. Give it up for those guys. And also, I wanted to throw out there, I wanted to lift up in Jesus Mark and Jamie Johnson. They're doing a phenomenal job in the youth and family ministry. We're creating a different culture here. We're going uphill. Now, this is something that we've been talking about for a while, and I think that, you know, you being able to see that video and for them to go to St. Louis and get to talk with some people in different things and be asked, you know, what does it mean for parents to be involved in this ministry? How do we get them to come? Mark and Jamie, you know, I don't know if you fully grasp the idea of youth and family ministry, but if you're akin to the old team ministry, it'd be easy for you to be saying, why aren't Mark and Jamie doing this? Or this is what they need to be doing. And, you know, at some point we were probably saying that, but from the last event that I went to, seeing all those parents there, interacting with the teens, interacting with each other, we're building an incredible ministry, and we're going to meet in a couple of weeks here. I'll give you some more details on Wednesday after we meet with Ken and Lana and Bruce and Laura and some different folks to talk some more about how we can broaden that youth and family ministry. Some exciting stuff coming up, amen? Some exciting stuff coming up. Also, I wanted to make public just how grateful in Jesus we, the leadership team, are for Brent and Tika Davis. I gave Brent the charge about 9 months ago to get with our young people, our campus, on Sunday nights and kind of be, you know, a father to the group, a grandfather, provide some stability. Because in our church and wanting to build a family ministry, you know, it's great to have interns, it's great to have, you know, experienced interns and these different types of things, but I believe that it's also important to have some grown folks that are in there and providing some more backbone and support. And we want to do that with all the ministries. We want the ministries to become family. And Brent and Tinka have done an incredible job. They've gone far above and beyond the call of duty. I just asked them to do that on Sundays, and I asked them to get some other people involved, but they're so zealous for the campus ministry that they took it upon themselves to work it out. And I think one of the things that was really encouraging was, as Tanya Nero is going to be leaving, and we're going to give her a going-away send-off this Wednesday, congregational midweek, so please be there for that. Brent and Tinka and the Bryants have went out of their way to connect with the Trinidad Church and make sure that Tanya is connected. And what was really cool was that they found out that the church is, I think, 12 miles from Tanya's house. And there's the church leader's house, and 12 miles, imagine that. And what was cool was there was this article in the Trinidad newspaper with Tanya on the front running, and they're singing all her praises and these different things, and a disciple wrote that article. And I don't know if anybody told Tanya this or what, but all these Bible talks in the Trinidad church are wanting Tanya to be in their Bible talk. Because her family is famous as runners and these different types of things. So I really want to lift up Brent and Tinka. Brent has been a mom to the girls. She's been in there with them. She's really loved up on Tinka. Who did I say? Yeah, Brent probably too. No. Brent's multifaceted. You know, God is like a mother. Amen. But those guys have done an incredible job with them, and so I just wanted to lift them up. Thank you. We'll do some more talking about that Wednesday. Amen. Amen. All right. Now, I want you to be praying for me, because what I'm going to do this morning, we're talking about walking with God. And what I want to do this morning, we started out talking about walking in God's Word last week. And we're going to talk about walking in God's call this morning. And what I'm going to do, this probably won't be, you know, there's a part of me that feels this pressure to be exciting and, you know, all of these different things. And you know what I'm saying? Wowing and wooing. But I'm just going to read some scripture and make a couple of comments here. The ideal here Let me just read some passages before we jump into this. Actually, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to read these passages, and we're just going to segue into it and get it on. Amen? God, thank you so much for this time to be together. We're so grateful for you bringing us here. We're grateful for your spirit. We're grateful for your word. We're grateful, Father, to see Joe Levy here with the girls. We're grateful for how you're working and healing Brenda. Father, we're grateful for, in advance, Sam's cousin, Ashish, that you're going to heal, that's paralyzed right now, that had a brain aneurysm. God, we lift him up to you. Father, whatever your will is, God, we pray right now in Jesus' name for healing on him. God, we lift up this time. We pray, Father, that what we're lacking, what I'm lacking, what I'm not, doesn't become a factor in your word and what it brings. God, we pray so much that you speak to each of our hearts, God. When I think about being called to walk with you, called to follow you, it strikes a chord in my heart because I remember where I was at before that. God, when Ken talked about being grateful, I pray that as we hear these scriptures, we're grateful, we're reminded, we're challenged, we're inspired. Father, I pray that you would make everything fall into place, God, as only you can. Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome. Acts 2:42 talks about the fellowship of the believers. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. That was our last year theme. And that's our this year theme. Amen. 2 Timothy 3:14 says, "But as for you," Paul talking to Timothy, "continue on what you have learned," and this is what we're doing, "and have become convinced of." Now, the idea is that we're going to continue on what we learned last year. And the question that I have for you this morning is, are you convinced of what we learned last year? Because if you're convinced, then you can take the whole of the scripture and embrace it. Amen? It goes on to say, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. And we learned it directly from the Word of God. We learned directly about the togetherness, about the conviction, about following Jesus' Word, the conviction about being devoted to the fellowship, about the conviction of being devoted to the breaking of bread and prayer in homes, and really celebrating the communion together and being devoted to prayer together. Amen? You know, we got these cool invites, and I don't know if you got one of these. Brother Bruce Matthews made these up. He is the man when it comes to invites. A scripture on there: "For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come." You know, there's something that goes a lot further than our New Year's resolutions to get in shape when we start talking about the spiritual. And that's what we want to focus on. We're talking about walking with God, and this invite here talks about getting some time to get in shape spiritually. And that's what we're doing right now. We're going through the convictions that we as a church believe, and I want us to be jogged too. We're going to have some different guys up here, and you guys are, amen, doing different subjects here. But we're going to kind of go through some different study series stuff that I believe will be on our website. And my hope and prayer is this time is like restudying the Bible all over again. If you're visiting with us, you know, this is like studying the Bible. And at the end of it, what would be really cool, even in the middle of it or next week, it'd be cool to see some people get baptized into Christ. Amen. But we're just going to go through these scriptures. And we're doing our Walking with God series. 1 Timothy in chapter 4 and verse 11 through 14 says, "Command and teach these things," Paul to Timothy again. "Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture and to teaching and to preaching." Now, what we're going to hear this morning is the public reading of Scripture. The public reading of Scripture. And my hope and prayer is that God is going to move your hearts and speak to you individually and speak to us collectively as a congregation on the topic of walking within God's call. Amen? Because I think that there is something to walking with God and being called by God. And we're going to look at what Jesus called people to, what Jesus has called all of us to. And I pray that you'll make decisions. I believe that as we read these scriptures, it has everything to do with walking in God's vision. Us believing that the only way to build a church is to build a healthy church. I believe that it's important for us to understand that as we read these passages, this is all about God's vision for us as individuals and as a church. I believe that it's important for us to embrace these passages because it has everything to do with unity, us all being on the same page as to what is the purpose and passion of each individual and collectively as a church. And I believe that as we read these passages, it'll call us to a level of leadership. Not only leading in the congregation, but leading in our families and in our personal lives. And I believe that as we look at these passages, it has everything to do with investing. That we take personal stock in investing in our spiritual relationship with God, investing in God's church, investing in God's vision and dreams. Amen? Turn in your Bibles to Matthew 28. Amen? Turn your Bibles to Matthew 28. Okay, I got about 3 minutes, so... Matthew 28, familiar passage. We've read these passages for a ton of time, but I think it's important that as a church, collectively, we read them together. And if you are of this conviction, I hope and prayer is that after we study those out, that you say, amen, so be it. Amen? Amen? Matthew 28, 18. This is Jesus before he ascends to heaven, and he's speaking to the disciples. He says, "Then Jesus came to them, and he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And, not only that, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Now the question that I have for you this morning is what does Jesus call all people to become in this passage? Disciples. He calls them to become disciples. Amen. You know, there's something that we have to be unified on. There's something that we have to be reminded of. There's something that we have to be grateful for. I remember when the guy that met me and asked me to study the Bible and invited me to church. He wanted me to become a disciple. Jesus called the disciples to go make more people like he made. I want to ask you this question. Are you passionate about making disciples? You know, if we're not on the same page as a church, as individuals, about the same thing that Jesus was passionate about and called his disciples to be passionate about, we'll miss the boat. And I'll tell you what. Satan does everything in his power to distract us from making disciples, from growing, from obeying God's word. You know, he does it in our families. He does it in our personal lives. And the whole goal, I believe, of all of that is for us to become inward focused and not concerned with those around us. We walk by people. We talk to people at work that are going through extreme difficulty in their lives. And we become so enthralled in our own lives and what we want and these different things that we miss the charge that Jesus gave the initial disciples that had effect in our lives. You know, we've got to be passionate about this. You know, what's the difference? When I studied the Bible, I remember studying this out, and the first thing I thought was, man, I'm a Christian, but I'm not a disciple, because that's not what's important to me. I don't know what's important to me, but I know that hasn't been my mindset. And I want to ask you this question. Are you a Christian or are you a disciple? Are you a disciple of Jesus? Because to be a disciple of Jesus, that means that you're a follower of him. You know, do you consider yourself a Christian and a disciple? Do you consider yourself both? And if you look at Acts chapter 11 and verse 26, it connects those two together. I think we've got to have conviction about what Jesus called us to. I think sometimes it's easy for us to get caught up in, I don't want anybody telling me what to do. I don't want anybody giving me any orders. I don't want anybody putting me on any campaigns. I don't want anybody telling me about all this outward focus stuff. But this is what Jesus called disciples to. Amen? So what we're going to is what Jesus called, what God called us, what it means to walk with God. Amen? We walk in what he's called us to walk in. Amen? Awesome. Turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 1. It's good stuff. Good stuff. Mark chapter 1. I want you to think about this as you're turning the pages. You know, what if everybody was more concerned with making disciples than they are about bashing people and voting and all those different things. What if? I mean, think about it. For you high school kids, you know, some of you, I don't want to get bullied, I don't want to get pushed around and all these different things. You know, let's stop trying to mandate all these rules and all these different things that people don't follow anyway. But let's share Jesus with them. Amen. Amen? Think about it. I mean, you go to the movies. I don't know about you, but I've been in some movie theaters, but there's always somebody talking. You know, and it doesn't matter. You know, the usher comes in. It don't matter. They keep talking. It's like, man, I wish this would be different. You know, where would consideration come from if we taught them about Jesus? You know what I'm saying? I mean, think about how much better would your neighborhood be if all of your neighbors were followers of Jesus. You could leave your garage open, and maybe some of you do. You could leave your doors unlocked. You could trust people to have your best interests in mind. Doesn't that give you some type of, I mean, man, it's like, have you ever thought about that? If you want things to be different, do what Jesus called us to do. Make disciples, amen? Mark chapter 1 and verse 16. And Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee and saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. You know, I believe in order for us to embrace the call of Jesus, we have to understand that we're not walking in front of Jesus. We're following Jesus. Jesus doesn't call us to run in front of him and kind of set the pace and this is what we're going to do. Jesus calls us to follow him. I want to ask you this morning, are you a follower of Jesus? You know, it takes great humility to walk behind somebody. It takes great trust to walk behind somebody and trust that they're taking you to a place where you'll be safe, you'll be encouraged, where your best interest will be held in mind. I want you to think about when you read this passage, what the response of these men was. It says that they dropped their nets and they followed him at once. You know, if Jesus is calling you to be a disciple this morning, what is your response going to be? You know, the response of a disciple is to follow Jesus immediately at a heart level. Now, one of the things that I think we've got to understand is Jesus calls for immediate action. But at the same time, there's a gradually showing us what it would look like in real life. Does that make sense? Jesus says, come follow me. And then he says, you're going to walk with me. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to teach you. And I'm going to train you how to be a disciple. I want you to be a student of mine. I want to teach you. You know, one of our neighbors, I think she's like in the fourth grade and she's like 6 feet tall. And probably a little exaggerated, but she's tall, man. And I'm always trying to get her to play basketball. Her parents are trying to get her to play basketball. We were at Target, and I said, man, you got to sign up and be on the team. And her mom goes, yeah, tell her. And, you know, she's cowering, like, why are you doing this to me? And I look at her, and, I mean, I watch her run, and I see her dribble the ball, and I see her, you know, her countenance and all these things. Oh, you'd be a great basketball player. I said, come on, let's work together. I'm going to show you some things. And we start working, and she starts trying to do these drills, and she's, you know, she feels uncomfortable. And she goes, man, I can't do this. I don't want to play basketball. I want to be a dancer. Why? I mean, it's cool to dance, but she's like, you know, I can't do this. And it's like, you've got to grasp hold of that you haven't done this before. You've got to learn how to do it. I think as we take the charge of following Jesus, I think some of us, we get locked up in, we see all these things that Jesus did, all these things that Jesus was, all these things that the apostles were, and we're not those things. And we go, you know what? I'm not jumping into that because I'm just going to fail. Jesus is full of grace and mercy. Jesus is the ultimate teacher. He knows where all of us are at and what we need in order to be shaped and molded into mature Christians. I want you to consider that. Don't be like that girl. She's playing basketball now. I saw her jogging with confidence with a tote bag and those different things. She's growing. Make a decision to follow Jesus and grow. Amen? Don't allow what you don't see. Don't allow the worldly thinking to get in the way. Amen? Awesome. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 9. His call, we're talking about his call. Luke chapter 9. You guys with me?
Yeah.
Amen. Luke chapter 9, starting in verse 23. Then he said to them all, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me." You know, I think one of the things that scares that girl is practice. You know? I can't do this. Okay, well, you got to practice. Practice. "For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and to lose or forfeit their very self? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels." What does Jesus say to these disciples here? You know, in order to be a disciple, you got to practice. You got to carry your cross. You got to allow God to mold and shape you. You got to be refined by fire. You know, it's like the kid that comes in and says, "You know, I don't want to do any chores and all these different things, but I want an allowance." Think about what that kid grows up and is. I got to work. Man, I got to find something else. I got to work here too? Man, I got to find something else. Can you believe what they were trying to do to me? I got to find something else. Man, everywhere I go, I got to work. Now I'm depressed. Everywhere I go, I got to work. I ain't never worked. In our spiritual lives, when we don't understand carrying our cross, we end up being people that wander around in the fellowship, wander around in the world looking for somewhere to get comfort. And we miss the call of Jesus. He says, you know, the rewards are great, but the price is heavy. It's no longer about you. Be transformed into my likeness. I'll walk with you. That's a disciple. That's the call of Jesus. I want to ask you this morning, what cross do you need to bear? You know, when I first started studying the Bible, man, I was a worldly guy. And when I started looking at these passages, I was like, oh, so that means I can't do that? Oh, that means I can't do that? Oh, I got to go here? Oh, I got to hang out with these kind of people? Oh, you got to count the cost. Well, my life was so miserable, I was just at this point and praise God. It was like, you know, my life is miserable. I know a lot of people, but they don't have my best interests in mind. It's a wonder I'm alive. Thank God. I'll do whatever it takes. And I pray this morning that if that's what's going on with you, that you really are honest with where you're at. And you understand that as you give those things up, God gives you so much more. Be willing to carry your cross. Know what it is. Amen. Make a decision to carry your cross and to honor God. 1 John 3:16. Turn in your Bibles there, please. We're kind of rolling through these scriptures, huh? First John 3:16. Scripture says, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters." This is how we know what love is. You know, you got to make this correlation. When we lay down our lives for each other, other people get an opportunity to see the love of God. When we're not willing to lay down our lives for other people, it makes it more difficult for people to really see Jesus. When we talk about laying down our lives, that means grace and that means mercy. That's not expecting perfection from everyone when you've been given grace. That means going the extra mile. You know, sometimes we don't want to show up to places. Sometimes we don't want to listen. Sometimes we don't want to give. I don't know if you've ever made this correlation, but when we're not willing to do those things, we're like saying, you know, I know, God, that you've made me, you created me from the very beginning to be an instrument for you, to be a projection of who you are and your love, and I'm not willing to be that. And some of us, we go, you know, oh, I'm just being selfish. I mean, yeah, you're being selfish, but on a greater scale, you're being rebellious towards God. You know, when we talk about being disciples, this isn't about us compartmentalizing our lives. You know, when we miss out on loving the brothers and sisters, that says a lot. I mean, you could do everything but love the brothers and sisters, and you miss. I'm not talking about trying. I'm talking about when you refuse to. You miss. Jesus calls us, His Word, God's Word calls us to love the brothers and sisters, carry our cross, live our lives in a way like Jesus lived His life for the disciples, for all people. Amen? That's a disciple. Turn with your Bibles. Turn with me in your Bibles to John 13. John 13. We're coming home. John 13, verse 34 and 35. God, I pray that you use this in a way that stirs your people to a deep love and conviction. This is what we believe. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's like, man, this dude's crazy. He prays like right in the middle of the... Yeah. I need to. I ain't that good. John 13. 34 and 35, a new command. Jesus said, a new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. Not how you love each other, not how you're akin to, but how I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know you are my disciples if you love one another. Now, the challenge, the practical challenge that I want you to take away from this passage right here. One is to love one another like Jesus loved, but I want you to tell your disciple love story to somebody. Amen? Amen? How the disciples loved up on you. How you saw discipling relationships where you saw true disciples and their love for each other through all of these worldly things, and it impacted you. And nobody can say, oh, I never saw any of that. That was never, I never saw it. You are the devil, a lie. I mean, we've all had those instances, you know? I mean, I think about the times when, man, I was just flat sinning and sinning. I couldn't get it together. And a brother believed in me. And he stood up to some higher up brothers because he believed in me. These dudes were like, yo, we're ready to kick this guy out of the fellowship. He's like, say what? Man, this dude needs Jesus' grace just like you. This dude is trying. He's not trying. And it was just the spirit of Jesus because they backed down. I was like scared and, you know, man, oh. This brother stood up for me when there was 8, 9, 10 other brothers that didn't. You know, the brother that there was a guy that was in a man's man. I'm not necessarily a man's man. This guy was a guy that towed a gun, you know, go to the range hunting. They do a beast feast and deer, quail, all these different things. This dude would meet me at 6 o'clock in the morning before I would go to work. And he would just sit down with me, listen to me, pray with me, share some scriptures with me. I mean, I know this dude had to get tired of meeting with me. I mean, this dude would come sleep in his eyes. And, you know, I'd have these stories. And he'd be listening to these stories at McDonald's and, amen, bro, let's look at some scripture. I love you. And, you know, man, do you hear what I just taught? I love you, brother. God loves you. Let's pray, bro. It's going to get better for you. You know, open his trunk, show me all his guns. I'd, and then I got to go. Brother, you're going to be all right. Tim Brown. This dude met with me every week. You know, and I was one of those guys that at one point in time, they were like, man, I ain't meeting with this guy. It'll never get it together. And this guy met with me. Guys, I encourage you, tell your love stories in the kingdom to somebody. Amen. This week. Somebody this week. I think it's important that we understand that, that we can't focus on our own needs being met, because if we do, they won't get met. We've got to focus on meeting each other's needs, which includes receiving love. Some of us need to let people love us, amen? I would say something, I won't do it. If we do that, then all of our needs will be met and all will feel loved, amen? Galatians chapter 2. Awesome, thanks for hanging on.
Amen.
Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul says that his own life is over, his own desires are over, his own will is over. But the things that are important to Christ are what lives in him. I want to ask you this question. Can you point out a specific point in time where you've made that decision? Is there somewhere in your life that you need to make that decision this morning? And I also want to ask you this. What will that mean for you to do that? What will that mean for you to die to self and to live for Christ? Maybe it's standing up at high school for what's right. Amen. Maybe it's having a vision and a dream to start a Bible talk. Amen. Maybe it's as a young adult to come to Brent and Tika's thing and ask if you can lead a lesson. Amen. Maybe in the Spanish-speaking ministry, it's praying and embracing the goal of seeing somebody become a Christian. Maybe it's in our families and being a part of the youth and family ministry. And if you're one of those young teens, to start coming and investing in that ministry right now. What will it mean for you to die to your own desires and live in Christ? Matthew 28:18 through 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Another way to say this would be, raise up disciples. Raise up disciples in your family. Pray about raising up disciples in your workplace. Jesus committed his life to saving others and calling them to be disciples. Jesus called disciples to be completely committed to the same mission of making disciples. In order to call ourselves disciples, we've got to be committed to the mission of making disciples. Believe this. Jesus uses faithful disciples to make more disciples and to bring them to maturity. Convictions. Do you want to answer Jesus' call to become his disciple? If you're visiting this morning, you want to understand this a little bit more, I encourage you to ask whoever brought you, the person next to you, to study the Bible. If you've made this decision, what areas did you need to recommit in? You know, some of us, we're doing these things, but we're just not humble. We need to have somebody involved in our lives. We need to engage in the fellowship. Will you commit yourself to a life, not a minute, of walking as Jesus did and being his disciple? Will you commit yourself to self-sacrificing and the service of others? It's really cool to see Jake up here playing the drums, you know, getting involved in things. Do you have the conviction that the world needs to be saved and that Jesus has given the commission to you as a faithful disciple to make disciples? Are you willing to take up the call? You know, as we read these passages, I want to encourage you to make these your conviction. You know, when you leave here, this should be, you know, I'm going to go out with the mindset that I'm going to make disciples, whether it's in my family, whether it's at school or work, wherever it's at. And I'm going to grow so that I can do that more effectively and know that God will bless it. Like Scripture says, Jesus says he'll be with whoever is willing to make disciples and teach him and train him to obey. He'll be with them to the very end of the age. Make that your goal this year. Amen. To God be the glory.